You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Good evening to you, and welcome to Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. It is the Entrepreneurship and Small Business Wednesday. Of course, this is where we talk to entrepreneurs as they tell us a little bit about themselves. I hope that you've enjoyed that beautiful song that I played for you there. I think we dish out some really great songs on the show. And today is definitely no different at all. Hope that you love it. But I'd like to hear from you on +27734703520. As I mentioned, we speak to entrepreneurs in this particular segment. They tell us a little bit about their business. And this is how, of course, we, of course, make business sense make sense. Otherwise, business sense would not be business sense without entrepreneurs. And I appreciate all of them, because they make this show. And today is no different. So we're talking to Molen Mukuze, and Molen will be telling us about her business, and we'll be going through some of the lessons that she has learned along the way. Perhaps for those of you who are entrepreneurs and want to join this particular space, you might learn a little bit from her story. And I believe she's already on the line joining us this evening. Good evening, Molen.
Good evening. How are you? Hello.
I am doing very well. Thank you so much for asking. And yourself?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you.
Fantastic. We just want to say thank you for joining us this evening. Really, really appreciate your time. Brandmore Chartered Accountants. I feel like I should have worn a tie and a suit right now for us to have this conversation. I feel underdressed, because when you talk to accountants, you're talking to serious people. Am I wrong or am I right there?
Yeah, accountants are perceived to be serious, but yeah, I think I'm a different one.
Oh, you're a different one. Okay, that's comforting to know. So you are the cool one that, you know, you can go sporting with, and you can talk everything else except money sometimes.
Yes. There's one of my clients was, I have never seen a client who is a social media person.
Oh,
because I actually have a YouTube as well.
Oh, so look at like, that.
The content that you are all over on social media. I'm like, yeah.
You are the modern day accountant. Yeah? You've got a little bit of what young people call a little bit of riz, you know, that thing about you that makes you a cool accountant. But thank you so much for joining us. I really, really appreciate your time. Brandmore, how did the name come about?
The name came about from Brenda and Molen.
Oh.
We started the company Brenda and Molen. So
okay.
The brand is standing for Brenda, my co-founder, partner, when we started Brandmore. So the more is the Molen.
Ah.
So Brenda and Molen, that's how the name came about. And actually, it was my husband, when we wanted to register a company, to say,
yes.
Name should be, he just said, can't you call it Brandmore?
Oh.
So he's the one who named it.
Okay, look at that. That is really, really great. Okay, so Molen, let's now get into you first as an entrepreneur, right? Because we want to have this conversation in twofold, your business, but also to understand you as an entrepreneur and your journey as well. A little bit about yourself. Where were you born and how did you even get into business?
Okay, so just as you said, I'm Molen Mukuze. So I was born and raised in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
So I came to South Africa to do my university. So
yes.
I did my BCom accounting at University of Fort Hare in the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
So after that, I came to Joburg and I did my articles with a company called, I studied with Sizwe and Saluba.
Okay.
So then I left when I wanted to do CTA. You know, the journey of being a general accountant, there's a rough page there. There's something that is called CTA that can teach you or it can do you, in other words.
Yeah.
So when I couldn't pass, I decided to leave articles and try to start full time. Then I was now married by that, so I left work and tried to start full time. Then after I have passed my CTA, I went to finish off my articles. with a company called Ngonki.
Yeah.
So then after that, then when I was still doing my articles, I said, you know what? I'm not, after finishing these articles, I'm going to start my company. Then I went to share the idea with my friend Brenda.
Yes.
Then I said, no, let's start. Then after finishing articles, that's when I started. Actually, where this started, I think I was born an entrepreneur from a mother who was selling stuff. My background, really, I think, is the one that made me an entrepreneur because my father passed away when I was still young. And in the villages, my mother used to farm vegetables.
Yes.
So she used to give me a basket of vegetables to go sell. So I used to walk long distances to go sell in the villages. So I think that's when my entrepreneurial spirit was actually cultivated. Then at school, I also used to sell sweets, you know.
Sure.
And even at varsity, or when I was working doing my articles, I used to sell Tupperware.
Yes.
So I was just selling, you know, throughout. Sure. So I think that's how the journey actually started.
That's a beautiful journey right there. And I think even the name itself, how it came about, just speaks about a beautiful entrepreneurial journey and one that I think, like you said, you were destined for this type of thing. So it didn't come as a surprise. So what would you say then makes Brand More different from all the other chartered accountant firms that are out there?
Yeah, so I think the entrepreneur in me as the leader makes how we operate differently. Like for now, we operate like PwC when we are a small firm.
Oh, okay.
Our processes, all our things are just different. So when I look at other accounting firms, like for now, like I told you that we have a business hub channel that we send our clients. So because I've seen that clients want advice.
Yes.
So sometimes we don't have, they don't have time, or
yes,
you can't put them. Let's say, you know, I have 60 clients. You can't put them in one house and tell them things.
Yes.
So I created the platform for them to go learn business, some questions, topical things. When SARS changed something, I post something on the YouTube and I broadcast it on our WhatsApp channel where all my clients are. So I keep engaging them via that. So I think the way we do, even our reporting, when clients come on board, they always say, no, your other accountants are not doing this.
Yes.
This way, the type of reports,
yes,
for you to understand your financials and all those kind of things. So I think that really differentiates us from other accountants.
Yeah. Okay. And when did the business start?
So the business started in late 2014. Then we registered the company in 2015.
Oh.
So it's about close to 10 years now.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's been a very long time. And how did you survive COVID as a business?
Actually, I saw God's hand during COVID.
Mm.
That's when we actually made more money.
Mm. Oh, look at that. Okay.
Yeah. So during COVID, you know, we in Brand More does compliance, tax,
yes,
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So people wanted now to access a lot of benefits that the government, the programs that government was issuing,
yes,
to businesses.
Yes.
But you can't get that when your company is not compliant.
Yes.
So everyone wanted to be compliant.
Yes.
So at that particular time. So then we had to do your UIF submissions,
sure,
for people, for companies that were not doing that. And that was, we actually declared bonuses during COVID.
Wow. So, I should have applied it to a company.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was actually a good year. 2020 was actually a good year.
Look at that.
In other words, it was not good because we were losing families and stuff like that.
Yes,
but from business
yes.
perspective, I can't complain.
You can't
because
complain.
Because we did survive
all.
Because of the need that a lot of companies were having.
Look,
and we were there to help them.
That's amazing. Them. That's amazing. And when you now go back to 2015, how did you raise capital? Because I know a lot of businesses, or some businesses, would even complain that it's hard raising capital. You know, you often have to. But since this is a service business, did you find it easy to raise capital? And how did you navigate that?
Yeah, so since our business is a service, you don't necessarily need funding. I think if I can say, the funding that you need is your energy
Yes,
to
okay.
go and knock on the door, not
Yeah.
financial, you know.
Yeah.
So what you just need, so we don't really, because it's your knowledge,
Yeah.
so you don't need money
Yes.
to invest into the in the business. So we never had that need, and we
Okay.
actually never had to go to overdrafts and stuff like that,
Yes.
because you don't need that. So, but
Ah.
because I assist other companies, I've seen that it's as a small business, when they need capital, a lot of banks, they don't believe in them. So that's why even on our platform, we talk about grants that you need as a business, and how do you get even loans?
Yeah.
Because we've seen that that's a challenge for
Yeah.
small businesses to
Yeah.
get funding.
Ah,
Yeah.
fantastic. And then you've never had to get offices, or where do you operate from? No capital was needed for that.
No. We at first we were operating from home,
Okay,
because you
okay.
start with what you have.
Yeah.
Then from there, we went into someone's garage,
Yeah.
because by then I was still staying in the complex. So it was,
Yes.
we now had two employees. So
Yeah.
someone had a house,
Yeah.
and they've converted their garage into an office. So we rented there. Then from there, we went to Rigas. Then from there, we went to a business, small business hub, River
Yes.
Sense. That's where we were
Yes.
operating from. Then you are given period there, 2 years or so. Then from there, they say, no, you are old enough.
Yes.
Out. Then
Yes.
we could afford offices. So we have our beautiful offices now.
Ah, look
You
at
can afford
that.
from the growth that you are earning from the
Look
business.
at that. So what
Yeah.
I'm hearing there from you is that it's important to bootstrap as much as you possibly can. Would you agree with that thought?
Yeah, you can say that again.
Would you say, if I'm hearing what you're saying, right, those
Yeah.
small little beginnings here and there, starting in at home in the garage and all that,
Yes.
bootstrapping your business, would you say it's very important so that you don't run for exorbitant, rental fees when you are still small? Like, bootstrap, build
Yes.
small
Yes.
until
It's
you get there.
yeah. It's very important to understand. I think also what helped us to understand is starting from small beginning. When you are coming from articles, how can someone who is coming from articles think about having big offices? So you need to understand where you are. So limit the cost, because cost is the thing that kills a lot of
Limit the
businesses.
cost,
So especially now, you can start at home, you know, work from home, book even maybe meeting room, depending on your business, really. So, but if it's not necessary, you don't really need to go into debts and stuff like that to start a business. So I would really see agree that, yeah, starting small, no large capital needed, is feasible for some businesses.
That makes sense. First client, as you were starting, who was your first client? Or maybe, let me say, do you even remember your first client?
Yeah, I do remember. And you know,
Okay.
those people hold something very dear.
I'm sure.
One of our first clients, you know how much you were charging?
Okay.
Remember when you are starting a business, one, you don't know pricing.
Yes.
You work so hard
Yeah,
for so little.
yeah.
So that client is so dear to me. I told him that if
Sure.
you came now, you are not going to be my client. But
Okay.
you were one of our first clients. So I hold you so dear.
Yes,
We'll be
yes.
charging 300, and you are the one who is the chartered accountant. You are doing the work. You are the employee. You are the partner. You are the director.
Yeah, you're
I
wearing all
said,
these
run.
hats. Sure, for 300 rand.
Yes. And the second one, of
Yeah.
course, we got them the same time. The second one, you know how we got that client,
Yeah.
and he's also so dear to us.
Yeah.
We were doing door-to-door knocking in
Okay.
office chat,
Okay.
right? Like to
Okay.
say, we are a Venmo, we are accountants, and what. So we knocked at their office.
Okay.
You know, we actually want the accountants. We actually want people to do that. That's how we got that second
Yeah.
client. So there, it's he is very dear to us. Then
Yeah.
we had to take over. He had four years worth of books that needed to be done. So for the whole 6 months, we're not looking for clients. We are just everything there.
Hey, sure. That's how. And would you say then your growth, was it word of mouth? Do you advertise? How did you grow from there then?
Yeah, so I growth there was word of mouth for a period, right? Because when you do something good, those people will become your marketers, referrals. Yeah. So, but now we are known social media and all those. We do advertise because you need to be able to build a garden. So we now have a garden where butterflies just come because we are known. Referral, yes, is still coming, but marketing, social media marketing, we do that.
Yeah.
I speak in other platforms as well. Go to for networking.
Yes.
So those kind of marketing strategies, we implement all of them. But for a period of time, referral was the one that was sustaining the business.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. And as an official one, I know it's pretty broad what you do. But what do you focus on, would you say, are your services? I know you do UIF and all those sort of stuff. What would you itemize them to be?
Okay, so we call ourselves, it's an accounting firm and advisory.
Okay.
So in the accounting, we do your normal, you know, bookkeeping, tax, compliance and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Your normal, because we are also registered auditors and tax practitioners. So we solve all the problem. Compliance related, including the UIF.
Yeah.
But on the advisory, the advisory section came about when we are growing with our clients, you see the problems that they are facing.
Yeah.
So, like, we have built an HR department that focuses on helping clients to recruit correct people into their organization, setting their processes.
Ooh,
we also help, because for small and medium firms, we have understood that if the goal of the company is not well defined, you cannot hold people accountable.
Yeah.
So we do performance management.
Yeah.
Help companies to put in their performance strategies and KPIs, balance scorecard, and how to measure their teams so that at least they meet their objective. So we have the performance management and also internal audit that comes from the fact that if your business don't have processes, you are not retaining knowledge.
Mm.
So you'll be training people over and over. But if you have SOP, standard operating procedures, manuals in there, you are retaining the knowledge. And when you want to audit now, like the internal audit function of it, to see are the processes being implemented, are the risks that are associated from someone not really doing what they should, are they being covered? So we have that internal audit.
Mm.
So that's from the advisory point of view. So we have a lot of products that evolved the growth that we particularly saw from Brainmore and our clients' needs. Yes.
Ah, fantastic. Yeah. Do you do institutional and retail? So for accounting purposes, can I come for you to help me with my tax, for example?
Yes. Yes, yes, we do individuals as well as companies for our tax. Like now it's tax season.
Yes.
So you need to do your income tax return.
Yeah.
And we actually advise you as well to say, okay, why can't you, if we see money in your bank account, why can't you put it in a savings account, the savings account that the government, the 36,000 investment that you can put in that doesn't, you won't be charged interest or something like that. So from the individual perspective, we do their tax and advise them on how to reduce your tax whilst also benefiting and also for the companies as well.
Look at that. Okay, 2015, 2024, what were some of the expectations that you had when you started the business versus the reality of running the business now?
The expectation, you know, when you started, I wrote all people that I know that have companies.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? With all these people that I know, I have parents already.
Yes.
So,
yes.
That didn't work out. Because you see, when you are starting, the people that you know, they don't really believe that you're going to do it.
Yes,
at
least. That's true.
So the expectation was we have clients already, which was not the case.
Yeah.
So that was the first expectation there. And also the other expectation that didn't really... So the reality was, no, not everyone is going to buy from you, even if you know that they have business.
Yeah.
So that's the reality thing in there around that. So also, another expectation was the business is going to to grow, right? Naturally, you say that with everything that I've done, or people are going to understand me, of which it was not the case. You need to prove yourself. You need to prove yourself that you can do it, and people really need to know and trust you. You need to earn people's trust. So the other thing was, sometimes you don't need to limit God. So I like what I said in 2020, everyone was thinking that, hey, because accounting was not a priority for people. It's like a luxury to say, I can do my books. No. So some of our retainer clients were closing shop. You don't need to limit God. So that was also a reality that I faced in 2020, because we saw other clients coming in. So I had to relate to Psalms 50. Verse 10-12, that verse that talk about a thousand cattle on a hillside are mine, you know. So that's another thing that we actually had to witness. Then also one other thing is unexpected resignation. Employees, so you'll be thinking that you are moving together with this person, and this person is actually a good person within the organization. Then one day you just receive the resignation. The reality thing, but one thing that I've learned is it actually forced us to build the business relying on systems rather than people, so that at least you know everything will move well, even if there's someone is not there. So it's also something that you actually encounter, and that I actually encountered from running the business.
That's always a tough one, because people always move and look for other opportunities, and when you think, we are going the same direction, we are happy, we are achieving what you need, and someone is like, nope, I'm not, I'm actually leaving, and you get hit by that resignation as an employer. Must be very difficult to deal with those. But how did you navigate this one that you mentioned? Because I find that it comes out quite a lot, where someone will say, I'm starting a business, and so my friends, I'm going to advertise on my WhatsApp status, and none of your friends, they just view your status, none of them engage you. Was it heartbreaking?
Yes, it was. Because remember, you're not mature. Remember when you start the business, to some extent, you are also not yet, sometimes, depending on when you started it, sometimes you are not yet mature to understand that these people don't hate you, but you are not the right person for now for them. But I found it so heartbreaking. I'm like, that is suffering. Just help. So it's a bit heartbreaking when you start, when you're starting, but when you are growing in wisdom and in the business as well, you try to understand that your right clients will come. In the right time. So not everyone is your clients. Even now, when we clients come, we select them to say, this one we cannot service. To the client as well. They select who they want to deal with.
What drives you as an entrepreneur? What makes you wake up in the morning and say, I still want to do this and not quit?
So I think from my background, one of the important one is I live in abundance. So first of all, I don't want not to have.
That's it. That's
not my portion.
Poverty is never a portion. I agree.
So that one on its own.
Yeah.
I vowed that poverty is not my portion, and I'm a person who don't like not to have at all. So that one motivates me on its own. And also, I am a good executor. So seeing progress motivates me. For example, we started with 2 employees. Now we have 16 people that are believing in the vision that I have, that I'm leading. So that on its own motivates me. It keeps me as a leader. So when you are so tired, or when you are when you see, if you multiply the families that are tapping into the vision, that on its own motivate me to say, you know what, there are people that are watching, there are people that are actually holding on to this vision, and they are looking up to me, and that goal that we have and the vision that we have should be successful. So I think that one, those are two things that motivate me. And also seeing my clients grow, because they are clients that we service when they were small companies. Now they have CFOs, they're corporatized, they're operating in Durban, in different. So that one also will say, you see my impact. I can also see my impact in the growth of this. So on that one, on its own, those are the three key things that really motivates me as a person.
Well, even Business Sense has been watching you. So just so you know, we've been following you. And like, we must bring this one to the show. So it sounds like you've got a lot of clients, quite a busy day. What does your day, your typical day look like? What time do you wake up? What happens during the day? What time do you go to sleep? And how has that affected your family as a married person as well, running a business?
Right now, I can say it's getting better.
Oh, okay.
But it depends on the day. Now, it depends on the day. But most of the time, 5 a.m., I wake up always. 5 a.m., I'm up.
Yeah.
I attend the prayer morning meetings.
Yeah.
Then 5:30, that's when I start working. So 5:30, I push on emails, things that need me signing off, reports, and all those kind of things. 6:20, we made it a family policy that we have prayer meeting with the kids before they go to school. Okay. So 6:20, we do that. Then afterwards, depending if I'm dropping the kids, 6:35, I'm doing some workout, a bit of exercises, or if I'm dropping the kids, I'm going to with them to school. I'm dropping them at school.
Yeah.
Then from 8:15, every single day I have meeting with my team for 15 to 30 minutes. Updates, the concerns. So I give them my attention during that 15 to 30 minutes time.
Yeah.
Then from there, now it's more meetings, meetings. So that's why I have to create time to work during the mornings as well. But before, I used to, when I was the one doing everything.
Mm.
But now I have a bigger team now, seniors, managers that are helping out. Before, I can tell you that it was, I'll be in the office 6:30. Closing the door at 9 or 10 because things were not finishing, things that needed to be done. And that on its own brings challenges like time commitments to the family. So my kids, I was telling people that my kids, when they were crying, they were saying, because Dad was the one that was present. So it's hectic when you are still starting. There is the support, and I really thank my husband.
Yes.
He didn't divorce me during that period.
He stuck around, eh?
Because it's the reality, the commitment, team commitment to the family was an issue.
Yeah.
So I used to say, okay, Saturday I'm with the family.
Yeah.
Because it's Sabbath and I'm with the family and I don't do anything and all those kind of things. So, but other than that, Sunday, morning, I'm already working.
Yes.
So it was really hectic. And also stress, coming to personal, how this affected me. Stress level, like in 2019, I suffered a burnout. You know, when you are waking up 6 to 10, pushing for almost, and you are not taking even holidays or vacation.
Yeah.
So I suffered a bit of a burnout there. So it really affected my health a bit, but I had to pick up and stand again.
Oh,
so because I was so tired consistently as well. So it was a bit hard when we were starting, but now it's getting better because I have a team that I rely on. That when you push, they do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
They are now experienced. Because when you're starting, you can't afford to have an experienced person.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's either you are taking an intern that is also relying on you.
Yeah.
Which was hectic, yes.
Yeah.
So
Okay, and what time do you go to sleep?
Now I make sure that I sleep by 9:30.
By 9:30.
But before then, I could even go to 1 o'clock, 1 a.m.
Yeah.
But now it's now better. Like what I'm saying, it's now better. The team is gone, and they are experienced. We can now put in experienced people. But I think for the past 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah.
Yes, I was sleeping at 1.
Mm.
That's why 2019 I was
burnout.
I think I had burnout
because
I was so tired, consistently tired.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, as we wrap up then, if you were to do things differently in the business, having started the business with now, what, almost like a couple of years now from 2015, what would you do differently if you were to start all over again?
I don't know if I have something that I would do differently.
Yeah.
But I think what I would do differently maybe is to really seek the knowledge of how do you structure a business, like in partnerships,
okay.
Because we were once in partner, we were very good friends, but because we didn't structure our partnership as well in the best way of business, not of friendship, we later restructured the business. So I think that is the first thing that I would do differently, looking at what is business, because I didn't know what business is, or even reading up on more business material to know, so that at least I can make a good business decision.
Hey,
yes. But I think I still need, I will still borrow the energy that I started the company with. Because I think now if I had started now, I wouldn't achieve what I've achieved.
Because now
I think I'm a bit relaxed.
Now you're a bit relaxed, right? Talking about being a bit relaxed, where are you seeing the company in the next 5 to 10 years? You can't be relaxing now.
No. We're not relaxing. Yeah, not really relaxing or relaxing, but the energy that I had is to go knock on someone's office. I'm no longer doing that. But the next future, like what I said, we started like our HR department.
Yeah.
We are growing in the products.
Okay.
We are diversifying the products. And also we have opened an office. I was in Zim. We have opened an office that have 2 people now in Zim.
So
my focus is now focusing on new markets and new products that we are now growing.
Yeah.
So in the next 2 to 5 years, I'm seeing the office in Zim to be like booming. We have opened a company in UK.
Ooh.
I'm also anticipating it to be booming there. There's no one yet in the UK. So it's still in the starting stage. So those are the future goals that we have. Zim should be a standalone. It's doing well.
Yeah.
Right now, but I need to focus more on it and try to get more clients in Zim as well. Yeah.
What would you say has been your most satisfying moment? I'm sure you know that nice paycheck is very satisfying, or the first client. But what would be the most satisfying one event so far in business?
For me, my team growing under my face, because of my effort.
Yeah.
That on its own satisfy me.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you get someone, a junior, then the person doesn't even believe in themselves.
Sure.
But you see after 6 months, 1 year, this person is running with things.
Yeah.
They're well confident. For me, it satisfy me.
Oh,
so
wow.
That is the biggest motivator of me keeping on going. To say, you know what?
Mm.
People growing. You see people growing and you see your hand in the growth of the people. So, that one on its own, it's really satisfying.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So that's the key one that satisfies me. And the biggest wins as well for me is I think I have 3 clients that I started with that were very small.
Yeah.
And now they have 60 people.
Look at that.
So for me, it's, I don't want to lie. And they actually call you to say, help us also interview. We now need a CFO.
Sure.
Help us put a CFO, you know, seeing the growth of that.
Yes.
And when that satisfied me to say, you know what, we are doing something great and we are impacting people as well as businesses.
Sure. Final words, any words of encouragement, and how can people get a hold of you for your services as well?
Okay, so my final words to if someone who's listening, thinking of doing it, I can just say, just do it.
Just do it.
Where the commitment that the journey needs.
Yeah.
It's a lonely journey.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say.
Yeah.
So you need to know that you might lose friends. You just need to make sure that you have full support from family and your relatives, and make sure you stick to your goal and your vision. And what is very important is allow yourself time to innovate. Sit still. Like I always do that on Sunday morning. I sit still. That's where I can think of different things that we can do. So sit still. And you see that God has given us power to be creative in our minds. And you do things different. So hold on to that commitment. If you're already in the in business, put yourself at the back and appreciate what you are doing and what you have been doing to the people that works with you and also to the community and the businesses that you serve. So those are my last remarks to our listeners.
Ah, that's fantastic. Where can they get a hold of you for your services?
Okay, so for our services, you can go to our website and book maybe, we call them discovery sessions.
Yes.
If you want help, we offer 30 minutes. So go to our website, which is www.brendmo.com. Or you can go get hold of us on our landline, 011-026-3052. So we'll be able to assist you. But our website, and also don't forget to subscribe to our channel. It's Brendmo Business Hub channel, where you find a lot. I actually invite people into the studio as well, talking about different things, funding experts in different areas of businesses.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, ma'am. Beautiful story. And we wish you nothing but the best and pray God's blessings on your business as you continue to traverse new markets and open up new opportunities, I suppose, for young people to get jobs, you know, and opening the space and making the space bigger for everyone. May God bless you indeed with you and your partners as well, and bless your family as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. There, that was Uma Marlene Mukuze helping us, of course, understand her business and how she runs her business and some of the things that she went through. To sum it up, she just said, well, sit still. That's very important. I've never thought of that particular phrase in this particular context. I think she's just made that, suppose, saying come out live, you know, sit still. Hold on to the commitment. Hold on to the commitment. And lastly, she said, just do it, man. Just do it.
Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.